Okay, good. Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. We're going to talk about healing. We're going to talk about deep healing with a man who's on the show recently. He's back by popular demand. And I'm so glad that he can join us because he has a lot to say about healing, his own as well as others. And he's a gifted man who's a shaman, has spent a lot of time living with tribes of different sorts in different parts of the world, and has worked with all kinds of people in different locations. So he has accumulated a lot of knowledge and wisdom. And so I'm so glad, Ben Ufana, I'm so glad you're on the show.
Thank you, Peter.
So we want to talk about healing. We want to talk about getting over things.
Right.
You know, what do we need to get over? How many of us are stuck in the past, stuck in perhaps recent past, could be long past, could be a whole series of pasts that we need to move through, and we need to know how to clear the past. We need to know how to clear. It's not just the past. It's really the way we're holding the past. And how it has conditioned us in life.
Right. And even being able to deal with the present. One of the things that I find the greatest concern is that the vast majority of people really have a very limited capacity when it comes to digesting our life experiences, our subsequent thoughts, our feelings, the impressions we internalize. That all needs to go through a digestive process. And if we're not able to do so, it literally congeals, it freezes up inside of ourselves.
And yet it's very complicated to understand how this digestion works because it's really not about elaborating on the story.
Exactly.
Because the story only gets us caught up more in the story.
Yes, and when we continue to analyze indefinitely, we go up into our head and we're disconnecting from our body where the feelings originate, and it generates more feeling, which remains trapped within the body, and yet we're spinning circles within our head, and it further exacerbates that split between conscious and subconscious minds and
right.
The body.
And there was a show I did recently on emotional intimacy that really understood that, and I'm so glad to come from there to here because it's about feelings rather than our thoughts about feelings.
Right.
It's not about figuring out why we feel this way or who to blame for our feelings or put labels on them because that's in the head.
I feel there's a balance. We need to have some cognitive understanding, but most of us go way too far to the extreme with it.
Right, and we can start. That's the point. We become victims
right.
of our mind and excuses and blame, and it gets very complicated and unnecessarily so because we really want to clear all the debris out
right.
that has congested our system because that's where the brain puts undigested feelings. It's in the body. It sticks it there.
Right.
And for good reason. All of us would be much too crazy if the brain didn't remove a lot of it from our brain and stick it in our body.
Well, the body-mind in many respects is a magnetic medium. We have our CDs, or the hard drive of a computer, which stores immense amounts of data. And again, whatever we're not able to process or digest remains trapped within the body. And so the practices of, you know, as we spoke of before, when something triggers us to be fully present with our feelings, our physical sensations within the body, breathing into that, is, I find, one of the most powerful means to reassociate into our body. And in doing so, it has the effect of awakening this innate healing intelligence that resides within the body and mind. Same thing when you get a bruise or a cut and the body begins to heal that. And so this innate healing intelligence, by facilitating this digestive process, it initiates growth, personal development. You know, as you, having raised a couple of children, you've watched them grow from infancy to toddlerhood, adolescence, or childhood adolescence into adulthood. And wherever we freeze up emotionally, when we resist, when we shut down our feelings, when we disconnect, that part of our consciousness becomes stunted at that point.
And we know a lot of people like that, who are walking around and they're still acting and responding to life from places that they haven't grown out of.
And that's all of us to some degree.
You know, well, yeah, I guess there's a part of us that is still in the stuckness of where we were harmed a lot, for instance.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And so the digestive process is something that we want to look at, because we looked at that. The last show we did, we talked about breath and how to use our breathing, and we can talk a lot more about that. But the brain is a computer that needs to receive feedback from the body on a constant basis to manage everything that goes on in our system. It's amazing what goes on in our system at all moments, the ways muscles trigger or relax, and how we are coordinated or not, is all the brain knowing what it's doing and is instructing the body thousands of times per second on all the nuances of holding us in space, moving us through life. And then internally, for instance, just digesting food is a world in itself that's going on inside of us that gets the job done, and it needs brains to do it. And there actually are neurotransmitters in the digestive system as well. So there's a lot of brain going on in the body, and we don't realize how smart our brains are, because it's handling so much miraculously all the time. And one of the things the brain watches is our breathing, because it reads our breath, and it reads it as it's like our breath, as we inhale and we exhale, it's like those fire different programs that the brain uses to scan the system and understand what its needs are. And so our breath is a criteria in life for our processing, not just breathing and oxygen, but actually for our self-knowledge. And I think that's why you put such an emphasis on using breathing to digest feelings.
Mm-hmm. And there is also having to combine the breath practice, because growing up with a great deal of physical and emotional abuse, and I see this with many people who have experienced various forms of trauma, we can do the breath practice up to a certain point, and then we're running into some of these dynamics that are literally physiologically hardwired into the body-mind. And so I'd be doing the practice, and I'd run into these walls at a certain point. And that's when I would do deep tissue body work. I'd work with a number of these exceptionally powerful healers. I'd be going on the vision quest. And especially like during the vision quest, there are actual forces or beings. You feel them come into your body. And it's, in many respects, like a near-death experience. And they're literally rewiring you, reformatting altogether. Now it's again,
and we'll get in more into that at another point because that's fascinating in itself.
Mm-hmm.
but we want to talk about what's working rather than who's doing it, because we live in a very complicated multidimensional universe that we don't even understand because our brains aren't wired to understand multidimensionality enough to know where these beings come from and how they get in and all that kind of stuff that is a miracle in itself. And it's great that we can do that. And there are a lot of healing techniques that involve the invocation of spirit and the openness to it.
Especially being that people of indigenous cultures not having a lot of the modern conveniences that we enjoy, and being at the mercy of the forces of nature, they had to rely on these forces for their own survival, to effect healing that couldn't otherwise happen, even to, in some instances, change the weather.
Sure. There's so much that indigenous cultures knew, so much wisdom, and they did pretty well in their day. And then a lot of it just got taken away by modern world, and there aren't that many shamans left.
Sad but true.
And so what we want to do is learn as much as we can from those that have the knowledge and wisdom and integrate it with what we are learning in the present, even through technology. You know, the internet is a learning tool.
Sure.
It's understanding life in an integrated way that people, I don't think, realize how it's a metaphor, really, of our spiritual reality.
At the same time, I feel there are a number of individuals who have the aptitude to learn these things. And that being the case, anyone who does, I would want to encourage them, if they could seek out these individuals who are left in the world, who have these gifts, who possess these kinds of powers and gifts of healing. I really want to encourage people to seek out these individuals. And sometimes it may involve traveling great distances. And if you wanted to go into the field of allopathic medicine, you would set aside this extensive chunk of your life to go through pre-med and medical school and all the other things that you do in order to become a physician. And it's the same thing in becoming a healer, there one needs to make this sacrifice or this commitment in order to go and be with these individuals. And
it's not so simple because they don't show up for everybody.
That's true. And some of us who, I know at the age of 14, I decided this is what I wanted. And I had no idea that could ever happen or work. And I took off as on my own at 17 and just landed in this native community and going into the peyote meetings, and I just happened upon it.
Well, it's not such a coincidence as it is synchronicity.
Right.
And you're in this life to do what you're doing, and people read each other. We all read. Our unconscious knows everything. It works in the multidimensional reality in the quantum field, and so we are all on the unconscious level knowing so much more than our conscious mind knows. So when we come into the presence of people who need to be in our lives, it's an automatic that we know that these are the right people, even though our conscious mind might be questioning us. Who is this guy anyway? Why do we want him in our village? and it's the heart knows more, because the heart reads the unconscious better than the mind can read it.
Right. One concern is people can easily become, in shutting down or disconnecting from feelings, they could easily become so disconnected from their core selves, that authentic core within that has that sense of purpose and direction. And so the more we learn to work with our feelings constructively, some of the things we have to face can be very difficult or uncomfortable, but when we make that commitment to be fully present and we go into the middle of the feeling and breathing with that, and it goes through that digestive process, and the more we do this consistently, it deepens this connection to the authentic core. And as that happens, that awakens intuition, that whole instinctual knowing, so that whatever our purpose or calling is, we're more attuned to it. We're more receptive to the communication that comes from the subconscious.
Right. We're more willing to know because we're not holding fears based on these congested feelings that we're afraid to open up. That's why they're congested. Mm-hmm. They haven't opened. So we're avoiding what might be behind them. And it might be our intuition is sitting there waiting to be used, but we won't go there because we're afraid of what it might tell us, mm-hmm. because these unknown congestion spots in our body they need to be removed.
Well, when you look around, you see children, adolescents, and sometimes young adults, you see that brightness in their eyes, that spark, and their essence is so clean. There's a purity about them. And one of the advantages, the more we work with feeling, is that through this digestive process, there's a cleaning up, and our life force, our essence, becomes much purer. And it creates more that conductive quality, so the signals can come through. But the other thing is, as we go through our own healing process, we develop greater warmth, compassion, and so there's a presence that comes through us that has a nurturing and healing effect upon others. And in terms of intimacy, in order to really experience intimacy with another person, if we're shutting down or disconnecting from our feelings, we're really not being fully present or emotionally available or even honest. Let's expand the definition of honesty. Honesty, in the sense, fully feeling the full range of what we feel.
Clarity.
Yes. And the more we do so, this increases our capacity to be truly intimate with our partners.
Right.
And those who matter to us, partners, children, anyone else we care about.
So this healing process is a wonderful opportunity. Everybody should find some different way of working on themselves. And there are so many different ways. I have developed this True Life Circles program, and people are using that program and have had remarkable breakthroughs. There are all kinds of different meditations, different breathing techniques. There's going to be a guest on my show coming up in a few weeks who teaches silence and augments silence in people so that you can really find that place where things get unlocked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, I guess, a lot of what locks us up, a lot of our protection are our opinions and our stories that we have built as shields in life, ways to hold ourselves in struggle, and also ways to blame the world, blame God, blame who knows what. You know, I hear from a lot of people who just say, oh, God hates me. It's like, no, this is not about, you know, because we're God, so who's hating who?
Mm-hmm.
And so there are stories. It's just we have to get out of our way, create that let's call it silence, call it neutrality, perhaps, where we allow ourselves and we surrender to openings.
The story easily becomes a prison and
exactly.
Can be the source of our undoing. And one of the things I find very powerful and effective is to break that dynamic I would always step back and say, okay, I've heard that before. What's the feeling behind all this? You know, every story that we have, there are feelings and sensations behind it. And with the story, it has, we're metastating, we're going up a couple of levels, further removed from the body and from direct experience of life. And when we keep interrupting it by saying, what's the feeling behind it, when we go direct into the feeling, the sensation, it actually starts to break apart or dissolve the construct.
When we understand that the story is the armor. And I once took a workshop. This goes back almost 40 years ago. I took a workshop called What's So? Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of people in this workshop, and we spent, it was, I think it was a weekly workshop, and we'd all show up, and people would take their turns talking about what's so in their lives. And these are all the stories. So everybody was pouring out their stories about hardship and suffering, and everyone's going, oh, wow, so that's what's so with you. Oh, that's what's so. And we didn't understand that the process was so we could all see how we were using our stories and living in our stories in such a self-important way. Our stories are so important. And it turned out that we had been misled about the name of the workshop. We had been told it was called What's So? And in the end, we all found out that the name of the workshop was So What?
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah. If we can just let go and be neutral and you know, just realize our stories are so what?
One of the concerns with just letting go is that, let's say the conscious mind would be the size of a pea, and the subconscious could, in comparison, fill a large building. And so having gone through our lives, spent so much of our lives up in our head, and all these, the earlier experiences where we were wounded and all the subsequent experiences that built onto that, we've created this mountain, in a sense. And so a lot of people say, just let it go, and yet it has such tremendous power. And I find it's been a very systematic process of dismantling that whole construct, because it had so much power and momentum behind it.
Right. It's hard to have that perspective to let go of it.
I'm fortunate to have trained with the master from China for 11 years, because I see how he began his training at the age of 5 and doing all this internal practice to build power, to do the physical fighting forms. And year by year, he continued to build until in his 20s, he became national fighting champion in all of China. And at times, he'd go up against these opponents who were so highly skilled, very some of the best in the country, and he would strike them one time, and they'd collapse into a puddle, completely unconscious. And it was because through all these years of intensive discipline building the power, he had built so much internal force.
And his power was clear.
Right.
And it was focused. Mm-hmm. So he could use it without impedance.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And how many of us can say that about who we are in this world? How clear are we? How can our life flow without us getting in our own way?
Yeah, and the emphasis from many of these traditions is that it is that process. It's discipline. It's building over time. And so there's this whole cultivating oneself that in itself is a lifelong process.
Healing is a lifelong process.
It's a way of life.
Well, I've always said that the reason we become adults in life is so we could heal our childhood. So we have to go about it in ways that work. And as I said, there are so many different modalities of healing. And just hugging each other is very freeing. Smiling, laughter, walking in nature, hugging a tree. There's so many beautiful ways of finding peace, inner peace. And the more we can raise our frequencies that way, the more this armor starts to peel away and fall away.
Dissolve.
Dissolve, yeah. Digest, as you like to say.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and all that that we hold that is armored or congested or deadened or disconnected, and there's waste products. Sometimes we literally absorb the energies and emotions of other people, their intent towards us. So those things do not serve us in any way. But what the analogy I used of a fluid medium, this part of our consciousness is holding the impressions of the experiences we've gone through, our own emotional response. And a lot of people think in terms of, oh, just release it, get rid of it, you know, remove it. But in doing so, we're losing a portion of our vital essence. All that needs to be taken. Well, for one thing, if you stock up your fridge, you know, you go to a supermarket and buy a lot of things, and those things you forget about and you don't eat, and they end up on the back of the shelf, and you find them sometimes weeks or months later, and they're no longer edible. And so this is where, like I said, there are areas, the old traumas that were surfacing, that's where I needed the assistance. I would work with the healers or go on the vision quest in order to transform these parts. And when we work at this level, when we have this level of assistance, it's actually transforming this content back into a form of sustenance that our body can then take and metabolize and assimilate to become a functional part of us again. All these, the parts of us that are wounded, where we're holding the pain and suffering, again, the part of our essence that holds the pain and suffering, this needs to be transformed so that it becomes fuel for growth, because that's where we get the wisdom and the clarity and our gift that we have to give to the world.
Right. That's the value of that pain and suffering. And we can't get rid of history.
Mm-hmm.
There was pain and suffering.
True.
We can get rid of the way we're holding it and limiting ourselves in the present.
It could transform into have a very light, very warm, very nurturing, very healing quality. And you know, when we do that, we become much more altruistic, and we see where other people are at.
And then from there, you can do your work. So tell us more about your work. And we have about a minute left, so.
Oh, okay. Very quickly, my mentor, Horace, was the last surviving native doctor among the Kiowa tribe. And
But how can people find you right now? Because we're running out of time.
Okay. I can be reached by cell phone at 913-927-4281. Again, 913-927-4281. Website, doiohm.com. And it describes a lot about the work, learning from a native doctor and Kiowa Indian doctor in the healing practices.
Ben Ufana, thank you.
Thank
you. It's so great talking with you.
Oh, and with you too.
Thank you. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heartriver.org, or 212-222-7748. Lots going on. I'd like to hear from you. And thank you so much for listening.